I know that this is just a filthy figment of my diseased imagination.
Live from New York.
I was hoping to interest you in improving your mind.
Science, history, paranormal activity, mysteries of the ages.
A lot of scary things can happen.
Sit back and get ready to be
scared. We're perfectly ordinary Americans.
Good evening, everybody. It is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2009, and you're listening to Scared on the Airwaves with your hosts, the Scared Crew, part paranormal investigators, part urban explorers, and tonight, master debaters. Hi, my name is Brian J. Cano, and in the crew tonight is Chris Mancuso.
Yo!
Jason Porcino.
Yeah.
Greg Cusick.
Hey, hey.
In the chat room with you is Brooke Haramaya.
Hello.
Holding a mask up in front of her face. And as always, in the engineering booth is Paul DeGennaro.
What's up?
And tonight, we're going to be talking about all things paranormal and all things scared. So, what's new with the crew?
Not much on my front. Work, work, work. You know how that goes, brother.
I know how that goes. It's been a week, and it feels like a month. We've been so busy.
But the word on the street is there's a new scared trailer up online.
I've heard that, too. Now,
oh, my God.
A new scared trailer. Now, if a new scared trailer is out, that means there's an episode right on the horizon. What's?
I heard it's supposed to be released July 15th, 2009 on DVD.
July 15th. Mark your calendars, boys and girls. July 15th, 2009 is the premiere, rather the debut of our newest DVD, Scared at the Phoenixville Library.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Woo! So, for those of you who have seen the trailer, it's been a lot of good feedback. People are excited, and actually, I'm excited, and I was
me
there.
Me too. It's definitely shaping up. I think it'll be a really good episode.
And fast on the heels of that is going to be our East Bridgewater Town Hall episode.
Town Hall, that's already in the works too.
Yeah, we're right after this comes out, we're going to hit that one just as hard, and we're looking to premiere the Phoenixville Library at the library itself, and that's going to happen sometime during the fall. So, for those of you who are interested in checking that out, we'll keep you posted when we get the details.
Yes.
But so what's been going on in the world is, you know, I know our world revolves around editing, and doing more editing. But I read the weirdest article today, and I mean, you surf around the internet, and you always find things that are not, you know, you're not sure if they're credible or not. You're not sure if they're fact, but it's there. So, as you're reading the article, other people are reading the article. How many people are passing that off as fact? When does it become fact? What I'm talking about specifically is an article I read about NASA. They had sent up a satellite, and supposedly it's supposed to bomb the moon. Now, this sounds very dramatic, but the purpose of this, they want to launch some missiles at the moon.
What'd the moon ever do to them?
To try and excavate a small area of it to see if water vapor escapes, thereby saying, hey, is there water under the surface? When we land people on there, can we build bases, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the focus of this article is, okay, NASA is going to bomb the moon.
You start a war like that.
That's what the article said. Now, I kid you not. I mean, this is from a European website, so the credibility, it wasn't CNN.
Right.
But this website, and I wish I had the link for you because it's too ridiculous not to share, but the article said, okay, NASA's going to be bombing the moon, they're going to be launching missiles. Not only is it going against some international space treaty that was signed by all the countries and the UN.
And the man in the moon.
And the man in the moon. But it also says that it's going to be seen as an act of aggression by
the Martians,
by the aliens that have a base on the dark side of the moon.
Are you kidding me?
I wish I was.
Oh, my God.
And they said that this has been proven, or quotes, proven, that Buzz Aldrin and the other astronauts who landed on the moon, they said that while they were broadcasting, they were censored when they actually were talking. There was a moment of silence, or there was something that was blurred out, so that when they landed, they supposedly saw lights coming from the other side, from the dark side of the moon, which must have been the aliens noticing them landing there.
And they shut their lights off immediately, I guess. Like, nobody's home.
Well, it can't be a star over the horizon. It had to be an alien.
It had to be.
Okay, first off, we never went to the moon. It was a lie, all right? And second off, the guy's an idiot. He says, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, which means he might as well have said, one small step for man, one giant leap for man. Because man and mankind in that context means exactly the same thing. So what he really was supposed to say was one small step for a man. But he's so stupid because he was drugged up when they had him in this giant warehouse like they did in Diamonds Are Forever from James Bond. They told him, listen, we'll put your family and kids through college and everything. Just don't ever say anything. You'll be a national hero. They never went to the moon. But the thing is, when he said that, it screwed up. So he said, one giant leap. One small step for man, one giant leap for man. That's basically what he said.
Well, I'm sure it'd be extremely easy to keep something like that quiet, because, you know, no one involved would ever want to talk about it, ever. So I think it'd be quite easy to keep that quiet.
Especially when they're paying for your house and your kids are going to college for free and you're considered a national treasure. Yeah, of course you're going to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, and how about the grip? Did he get a free house and free college out of it?
No, but you know what was funny? If I was filming something and I was saying, okay, we're going to film something that's supposed to be in space, I'd probably punch holes in the back of the screen because there'd be millions of stars. It wouldn't just be a black screen, okay? You're friggin' idiots. I could film a better space scene in my closet. It's so aggravating. It's stupid. It's not real.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, okay, this article is saying that
I'm just mad.
That
you take it personal. Big
the
moon
actions
fan.
By NASA that are backed up by these astronauts that supposedly said this after the fact in recent days, which, you know, I was not able to find any verification for, but that yes, we're going to be starting an interstellar war by our bombing of the surface of the moon. And I just found that I haven't been able to get it out of my head.
I don't know about that.
It's like that song Jay had stuck in his head last week that he just couldn't get out of his head. And this week it's us.
Die. But I see Van Helsing. The blood will run from his mouth when he is decapitated. Ha, ha, ha.
Wow. Yeah, it was just as good as it was last week. But speaking of good things this week, for those of you who are listening to the show live, you're obviously on darkplainsradio.com, and if you're awake, if you're conscious, if you're with us right now, you'll notice that the website has undergone a little bit of a facelift.
Oh, look at that!
It's looking pretty cool.
Who did that?
That's our boy Scotty Roberts.
All right, there, Scotty,
making the logo. I don't know what Brooke is doing over there. But the logo looks awesome. I think it looks really cool. It's
actually, yeah, it really does.
It's one of those things that's like, yeah, we're on Dark Plains Radio. What? What?
Uh-huh. What? What?
Yeah.
Wow, it looks like a clump of iRobot.
I thought it said dark, ratty, old-fashioned microphone.
It does, but it's awesome. So, you know, big ups to Scotty Roberts for getting that done.
Excellent job. Looks good.
We're going to have to get him to do some scared logos in the future, some work. And I also just became aware this week of his Tam O'Hare books.
That's right. He was actually telling me and Brooke about that at Phenomenology.
I was unaware. I kind of saw it on Amazon, and I'm like, Tam O'Hare, Scotty Roberts, it's written and illustrated by him. I mean, this guy's got a lot of talent, and so now he redoes the Dark Plains Radio side. I'm like, wow, dude, what's going on here?
He wears 1,000 hats.
He wears 1,000 hats.
It's like us.
Just like us.
Hey, Scotty, it's $50 for the commercial, by the way, man.
Cha-ching. You see how we did that? We didn't even ask. We just said, all right.
We just did it.
Here's a commercial. Pay up.
Time.
No, seriously, though, you owe us $50. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. So, darkplainsradio.com, it's looking good, and we're committed to bringing you the very best in talk radio. Including paranormal politics, sports, and anything from around the world, which is pretty much what we do every week on a daily basis. We hit our current events. We eventually delve into the paranormal. We talk about our show and talk about our friends. And something I just kind of want to touch upon today. A lot of people have been asking me about things, and I've had friends who do shows who are concerned about FCC regulations becoming the governing body for internet radio. And we've all been doing a lot of research on this. We've been looking around, and we've been wondering exactly what can the FCC censor. It seems like these days we're both pushing the envelope, we're pushing the bar, and we're also kind of retreating from it, too. You're getting a lot of expanding and shrinking on that front. You know, I mean, you turn on the TV right now and watch Rescue Me on the FX network, and they... I'm not even allowed to say what they say on that TV show, and I love it. That's how people speak, and it's real to me, and I enjoy the show. I don't take my values from it. I enjoy it as entertainment, and that's that. Switch over to Comedy Central and watch South Park. I laugh my butt off for half an hour because the things they say on that show are incredibly funny. They push the envelope for the past, 12, 13 years?
Long time.
But they say the A word all the time.
They do.
Is that allowed?
It's apparently.
What, Apple?
Oh, dude, careful.
You also notice Comedy Central censors more than regular television does. And anything on cable, by the way, not just HBO or Showtime or Cinemax, pay services.
Pay services are exempt from FCC regulations.
Yeah, but the thing is this. So is anything on cable. Like, MTV does not have to censor anything. TBS, anything that comes with a cable package because you're paying for it, anything, you could put anything you want. They choose not to because
they're gay.
Sponsors.
Yes, the sponsors.
Yeah.
So the thing is, the pressure from the sponsors. Is, like you said, with the whole pushing and pulling, and the thing is, these people cave to pressure because they feel like a Coca-Cola is like, well, I'm not gonna advertise you with you anymore. They look at it like, oh, I'm gonna lose money. So whatever Coca-Cola, let's say for example, whatever their politics is, they'll do it. Oh, it's only been in the recent years that Comedy Central started going uncensored after 11. I personally think that station is trash. It's garbage. They have exactly the opposite of what comedy and being uncensored stands for. They only let it go with South Park. And, I mean, I've watched stuff in there, like, where I watched Vacation on Channel 11, and they let more stuff go than a comedy station that's supposed to be about comedy. Like, they even, not only do they cut out language, they cut out content. And Brian, back to you, that's what you were getting at.
Content is actually kind of what I'm concerned about, because at what point, you know, we're governed by standards and practices, the FCC. There's lots of organizations whose job it is to tell us what we're not allowed to say. In addition to that, like you said, you know, we kind of cave under pressure from advertisers. And I mean, I'm in advertising, so you know what? I kind of day in and day out, I pay my dues to my soulless job. And when it comes down to something like this, like our radio show, you know, I just want to sit around the table with you guys and rap about what we've got to talk about for an hour. And people have come up to me and said, hey, you know, what's going on with censorship? Is this something you guys have to worry about? And I tell them, well, you know, technically, the FCC does not govern internet broadcasts. I don't know what you've heard. I've found no documentation that addresses that. But
so fudge the FCC.
Yeah, uh-huh. Shut the front door. You know, it's just one of those things. It's like, look, I've got friends over in Iraq. They're fighting for our freedom. You know, there's all this stuff going on in the world. And technically, you know, what are we fighting for? You know, these guys who come back. I'm going on a serious tangent here, but it's all related to censorship in that, you know, we talk a good game. We talk the talk, but are we ready to walk the walk? And, are we going to walk the walk?
I'll walk it.
Are we going to walk the line, or are we going to walk the walk?
I walk both. I walk a tightrope.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
All of a sudden, Chris turned into Apollo Creed.
You turned into Clover Lang.
Come on, Bobo. You made me wait. Come on, baby champion.
I reject the FCC's challenge because they are no challenge.
The FCC is no challenge.
But I'll be happy to curse in front of them some more.
Dude, you took my line.
Nice.
You got me from last week.
Judging.
Hey, sensor button. Hey, sensor button. Why don't you come over here and put a delay on me, and I'll show you what real cursing's about.
I'll show you a real show. I bet you stay up late every night hoping to hear a real show. I tell you what, Why don't you bring your pretty little self over to my house? I'll show you a real show.
Nice.
We just heard the delay of Chris.
Nice.
That was great.
That's funny. And actually, I'm curious to hear what our delay is.
It's going to be like 5 minutes soon.
It's going to be like a 5 minute delay.
You know, it's funny that like they don't even give Howard Stern or Opie and Anthony that. Mm. Like the thing is, it's the,
well, know, those guys can also afford to get fines.
They also have better lawyers than we do. No offense to our lawyers, but yeah.
I have two lawyers.
I've got two lawyers working on this.
I love how everybody has lawyers these days. Like, I can't afford to like go down the block and get chips. You know what I mean? Like, if people are like, I'll call my lawyer. It's like, you don't have two matching socks on. Like, you're going to get your lawyer on me? Like, you
know. Maybe they're bluffing and they don't actually have a lawyer.
I've got three lawyers.
I got a billion lawyers.
I got more than you.
So you're a lawyer.
Oh, my God.
Oh. It'll be a lawyer fight.
Oh, my God.
So I guess while we're riled up and ready to fight Rocky style here, I guess that leads us into our pseudo topic for the night.
We'll be that. What are we doing?
Like I said on the event invite for this radio show tonight, I was watching some political movies this weekend.
How come I didn't get an event?
Because I didn't want you to come.
Oh, my God.
And I was watching a lot of presidential movies this weekend, and it kind of got me in the spirit of debates, you know, the issues. You pick a topic and you debate on it. Someone chooses a side, someone chooses the other side, and we hash it out. And
debate? I'm very well versed and spoken in stuff like that.
I think especially in this crew where we're composed of people that have lots of different belief systems and we all pretty much can't agree on a daily basis for what we're having for dinner, you know, it brings a strength to our group in that we have varied viewpoints. And I
Absolutely.
Think that's great for a debate setting. And we're gonna put that to the test tonight.
All right.
And we're going to be addressing paranormal investigations. People question how we do things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do it right. Sometimes we don't. We've got a lot to learn. But I think we do what works for us. And I think we can maybe address now why it does.
Okay.
In a debate fashion. So for those of you in the chat room, if you're hearing us at all and we're not on the 60-minute delay, we'd love to hear...
All they hear is... Beep!
We'd love to hear, as we go along, topics related to this that you want us to debate. I think the first issue we're going to debate tonight is the very controversial lights out policy that you see on TV. As if lights out means, okay, ghosts, time to come on out. Lights out. You know, just like kids go to bed, ghosts wake up. On an investigation, is lights out a real and valid thing? On one side,
like kickball?
On one side, I'm going to sign. Sure. On this first one, I'm going to assign.
I'm going to assign the side. I don't even get to have an opinion, but I have to tell me my opinion?
I'm
going to
tell you what your opinion is.
Oh, snap.
What if I disagree with myself? Can I debate twice?
And that Greg is our even Steven, so he's going to disagree with whatever is said.
Greg.
So
actually, that's why I can argue both parts.
Nice. Yeah, because you're bi. And
I don't know what to say. I don't know.
All right. On one side for lights out, arguing for lights on will be Chris. You're gonna argue the side of, you know, why lights out is a load of crud.
Okay, I could do that.
Oh, lights on is gay.
And I think the team of Jay and Greg will speak to lights out, why that's a good thing. And if you guys get into any help, you need any help, you can...
Why lights out are good.
Yeah, lights out is a good thing. We'll start with Chris. And
okay.
Chris, I'm going to give you 60 seconds to kind of make your point. Like, all right, lights out, why is it ridiculous? Go for it.
Well, as people know, I think lights out, really, it's just an effect for TV shows and whatnot. I mean, it adds a creepy look to the episode or to whatever you're filming. But, I mean, does it really have an effect on paranormal activity? I mean, doesn't paranormal activity, can it occur during the daytime? Can it occur when there's electricity on? I mean, refrigerators can be plugged in. All these appliances can be plugged in. So why can't the lights be on when you're doing an investigation? It's a bunch of crap. That's all the time I need.
Mr. Mancuso, you still have 21 seconds.
I'm gonna
okay.
Chef of the future.
I'm a chef of the future.
For the rebuttal, Greg and
whoa,
Jay.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. The re-waddle?
The re-pop.
I don't know if
the
I
The re-posterior.
The re-posterior. The rerun. The re-re. Speaking of re-re's, take it away, Greg.
Minute. Well, I say Lights Out. Lights Out would have
Lights
a mood
out good.
That is... Okay, thanks for interrupting my train of thought. There goes Tess Hikins. Okay, Lights Out, that's a mood that works well with what we do in this field. Whether it's scientific or not, you have Lights Out, it's atmosphere. It gets you into a mind of spookiness and of eeriness and of, like, abandonedness and, like, isolation even.
You're not convincing me, Greg. Go ahead.
I don't care. It's my opinion. I don't care about yours. Anyway, I still got how many seconds now?
Still got 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Good, I'm done. No, but you know what, though? Whether it's scientific or not, it's a mood and an atmosphere. And when you do what we do, you know, you walk around with a place lit up like, I don't know, like a mall. How scary is it going to be? Are you going to be in the mood to speak to ghosts in the middle of a mall?
Chris, your response, 10 seconds.
I actually want to add something, and this is for... Because I don't think Greg presented a good argument, I'm going to say...
You're going to argue for me?
One of the things that I've heard are...
You mean to tell me you're going to tell Greg what he thinks?
I'm going to tell Greg what he thinks.
There's a shock.
That's not really uncommon from anybody when it comes to Greg.
I'm going to try to make a valid counterpoint to what I said earlier. What Lights Out, I can do whatever. I can say whatever I want.
Well, I'll disagree with you.
I know you will.
We're on a 60-second delay, so the worst that can happen is that we get beeped.
All right. Like, one of the theories is that what Lights Out, like, spirits manifest themselves. It's obviously easier to see them because they're drawing power and from electricity or something like that. So it's easier to see them when it's lights out as opposed to lights on. It's easier to see.
I'm going to counter that. I'm going to fill the void that was left when you switch signs. And pretty much when these phenomena are witnessed, what are you doing? Typically going about your day in the normal fashion. So unless you're Helen Keller, you're not, you know, walking around in a dark room bumping into walls and stuff. So what's going on? The lights are on. You think you see something out of the corner of your eye. You're going about your day exactly as you go through every other day. And it's like, oh, I saw something. I saw my grandmother. I saw this. I saw that. And that's what brings the paranormal crews to your location, because you said, hey, I saw this. I saw that. I saw that. Were you in the dark when it happened? No, I was just going about my day as normal, and I saw my grandmother, or I saw the angry man in the attic, or the little girl who lost their ball.
I see them all the time.
I can kind of say, if you want it, you know, if you want to do it in the dark, it's because you're scared in the dark, and you're more likely to feel fear in the atmosphere. Is it real or fake?
I think that's all in your head.
When it's dark, you're scared. When you're scared, you might imagine things. When you imagine things, oh, it's a ghost.
Well, there you go. That's the point. And it really doesn't help with paranormal investigating if you're imagining things.
So that does causes a false positive, because you're scared already.
Exactly.
You're
exactly
delivering yourself what you expect to see.
Well, that's probably what a lot of ghost sightings are. 99% not real.
Did you have something to add to this?
I was just going to say the one thing that nobody mentioned, besides the fact I have absolutely no radio personality, is the fact that if you are in the dark, I believe that it kind of makes your other senses more acute. So I don't think that was said yet.
How could they tell if you're cute if it's in the dark?
Last night I dreamt of a blind swordsman.
You're telling me you hear things rather than you see things.
It's kind of like your other senses make up for the fact that you can't see.
It's like a person who goes blind. They have better hearing, and they use their other senses to make up for the lack of their sight. I also think dark is more natural, because there wasn't lights along, you know what I mean? Like,
what, they didn't invent lights till last week?
They didn't have sun back then?
No, but I'm saying is that...
Bill Gates invented the sun? Like,
well,
this reason?
Okay. Well, you know what?
But if
they were ghosts, they didn't just start in 1956. They've probably been around since the beginning of time.
That was my point, that they didn't need to go lights out. It's just, again, whether it be on or off, go about your day as you normally would.
I mean, but you know what? It's there for effect, because, you know why? When we're there, even if the lights are on, when you're there live, it is still scary. Like, it doesn't matter either way if I have a flashlight or if the lights are on or whatever. If I'm scared in the joint, I'm scared in the joint. You know what I mean?
And I'm going to counter what Brooke said for a second, in that when my eyes are closed, I don't become Daredevil. My hearing doesn't suddenly become super super hearing. I will acknowledge that, yes, you know, when you're deprived of one sense, you're almost forced to pick up on the other sense. But again, unless your name is Matt Murdock, it's not going to happen like that. And I'm not going to become the ghost of death.
Yeah, but
it also takes time. Like, you know, you shut the lights off immediately. Yeah, you know, you're blind, but your other senses don't pick up.
How come every noise, how come we go to these places, every little noise sounds amplified a million times?
That's because you're a wussy.
Yeah, okay.
And hey, a show of hands from everyone out there. Who has ever seen a ghost in the dark?
And anyone who raises their hands right now is a dumb because we can't see you.
Well, who has ever seen a ghost in the light? Is it equal, split, 50-50?
We've conducted
mostly
investigations
dark, mostly light?
In the dark. We've conducted them with lights on.
And we've seen.
And has it really made a difference?
We haven't seen a ghost, per se.
Other people have.
We've gotten, you know, other indications.
And the funny thing is that the thing we did get on film, it was half dark and half light in the room. So we're all idiots.
Oh, bitter irony.
So, I mean, it, whatever your school of thought, it's almost, I hate to condemn it so, because, I mean, we are a TV show, but it seems like the Hollywood paranormal wants you to believe that lights out is a necessary part of investigating. But there's lots of people who commend us for, hey, you know, we saw your Garibaldi Museum episode, and we're glad you left the lights on because, you know, that's the way to do it. And I think we respect both sides because they're both valid in their own way. I wouldn't adhere to either one or the other. I think do what's appropriate.
And also, well, when you leave the lights on, does that affect the EMF readings?
I think as long as you account for it, you know, it's not an unknown factor. You turn the lights on.
You do a base reading beforehand.
It's a known value, so unless you're a poor scientist.
Or we probably left the lights on in the museum because imagine if Chris crashed through a glass case through like a $50 million.
Whoa! Oh, my God.
Like right through something. You know,
I'll be like, I go, whoa, something pushed me. It's a ghost.
And he just broke the priceless clock.
And he goes, I didn't break it. The ghost did.
The ghost did it. Nice.
Nice. So I think the consensus here is, once again, neither for one side or the other, but I think for the side of common sense. And we're going to get to our next heated question, hopefully one from the chat room, or if not, one we develop, right after this.
Holy nightmare!
Don't touch that dial, folks. We'll be right back.
It's coming. Don't miss it. The Great Lakes Paranormal Conference, July 24th, 25th, and 26th, on Minnesota's historic Iron Range. You'll get to meet and investigate with some of the top paranormal investigators in the field today. The original legend tripper himself, Chad Lewis. And from the hit movies Children of the Grave and Spooked, Keith Age. And from the hit show Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International, Brian Harnois. Just to name a few of the great celebrities you will meet and investigate with. And you will also investigate one of the most active places in the world, the birthplace of the modern NHL, the old recreation building in Hockeytown, USA, Eveleth, Minnesota, home of the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, plus speaker events at the historic Coates Plaza in Virginia, Minnesota, and meet the official voice of the convention from Spooks R Us, Scotty and Wayne. And don't miss the Great Lakes Paranormal Conference, July 24th, 25th, 26th. Tickets are extremely limited, so go to www.darkplainsradio.com to order your tickets today. Again, the address to go to is www.darkplainsradio.com to get your tickets today.
Psychic. Medium. Healer. Medical intuitive, teacher, author, and speaker. Where can you find all of these traits in one location? Go to www.spiritquesthealingcenter.com, the official site of Scared's very own Lisa Ann. Celebrating 10 years in business, Lisa Ann will be holding phone reading specials. Once again, go to www.spiritquesthealingcenter.com.
Have you been wondering what to get that special person in your life?
Visit Mountain View Candleworks, your one-stop shop for candles, fountains, incense, specialty foods, and much, much more. Just visit www.mountainviewcandleworks.com. We make your candles with mountain care.
Are you ready for some rollicking adventure? In Scotty Roberts' book, The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, join Irish Rabbit, Tam O'Hare, and his young squirrel squire, Horatio McNutt, as they journey through Scotland of the mid-1500s seeking a small child who's been stolen by the fairy folk. Crafty raccoon pirates, conniving noble wolves, conflicted royal foxes, and self-serving religious badgers all stand in the way as their quest brings them headlong into high seas action and supernatural intrigue. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare is in bookstores everywhere and at barnesandnoble.com. This hardcover, lushly illustrated chapter book is the first book in the Tam O'Hare series. But hang on to your sabers. Book 2, Tam O'Hare and the Banshee of Ballyglenmorrow, is coming later this year. So swash your buckle and prepare yourself for a historically rollicking, swaggeringly supernatural adventure. Visit tamohare.com to learn more. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
Hello, everybody. This is Mr. G from the World Paranormal Society and from Haunt the Hunters and DarkPlanesRadio.com. I would like to tell you about a website. It's called treasureforallusa.com, where I got everything from knickknacks to complete DVR systems, a place where you can shop for everything and everything. And if we don't have it, I'll find it for you. That's, again, treasureforallusa.com. Everything from DVR systems, TV sets, knickknacks, and gifts for loved ones. Come check it out, treasureforallusa.com. You won't be disappointed.
And we are back. Welcome back, everyone. It's once again, it is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2009. And you are still listening to Scared on the airwaves.
What up, Father Muckers?
We haven't been pulled just yet. So, actually, the FCC is listening. That Tam O'Hare commercial, the Horatio McNutt, I think someone should get fined for that. Scotty, you don't have to pay us that $50. You're going to need it for that fine there, brother.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Greg, I want to stick my D in your A and C all over your T's.
Oh, McNutt. So, yeah, we're having a good time tonight. We're doing a little bit of debating about the methods of paranormal investigation. And we, just before the break, we're talking about the lights out phenomena. We're not going to continue to talk about that. We're going to move on to the topic of psychics.
Ooh.
Some people use them.
Controversial.
Some people don't use them. Some people say, oh, I can't trust them. Some
condoms?
People only use them. And in the Scared Crew, we use pretty much equal amounts, mm-hmm. psychic and science, and we balance each other pretty nicely.
Totally.
Almost like rock, paper, scissors. You know, psychic, skeptic, scientist, you know, and
nice.
Spock.
Spock.
So, all right, the next topic of debate is psychics. Are they valuable in an investigation? Are they valuable? Are they necessary? I think, which side do you want to take on this, Chris? And since you're the skeptic, I think you'd probably be best for against.
I'll argue against. I could argue either way, but I'll argue against.
Okay. And Greg, since you are our psychic liaison, you pretty much accompany every psychic on any Scared investigation. I think you're best suited to speak for the psychics right now, since Paul is doing other things. So let's start with you, Greg. 60 seconds. Why are psychics necessary and good on an investigation?
Psychics, well, they add a lot. They have insight where others don't. And it's what they say is always fascinating. And a lot of it can be backed up. And when it coincides with the actual history, it really makes for an interesting story that they're telling us. So I think they definitely add a hell of a lot to an investigation. Of course, there'll always be doubters, of course. There'll always be those who fanatically believe. But, you know, what I have seen and heard from the psychics is amazing. And, you know, the amount of quality that they say that actually is backed up by the stories really is impressive. I think they absolutely add a hell of a lot to any investigation. So I would say absolutely have one with you.
Okay. So that's... That was Greg's pro psychic.
Bitter Chris, old bull man.
Speak as to why psychics might not be the best idea on an investigation.
All right, well,
60 seconds.
As you know, I'm skeptic. I'm skeptical of the paranormal in general, and I'm especially skeptical of psychics. Now, these, you know, anybody can have an imagination. You know what? I'm a screenwriter. I have an imagination. I can walk into any room and make up a story about the, oh, there's an old woman in a white dress, and she killed herself because her husband, you know, died in a war, and he never came home, or he went out and was, you know, having sex with another woman, whatever.
I mean, or you can always do the whole psychic historian bit. You know, you find out where you're going beforehand, you look up facts online, and then you spit them out later on. And I've known psychics, quote-unquote psychics, to do that. I'm not saying that everybody who claims to be psychic does that, but there's definitely people who do, and they give the rest of them a bad name. No, this is true, and it's like, you know what? Unless I see it for myself, I'm not going to believe you jive, man.
See, but the thing is, one thing that we do is we withhold the you know, the place we're going from the psychic. The other thing is that we know some of these psychics. So basically what you're saying is that you think they're all friggin' crazy and you don't believe them all and they're just making stuff up.
Well, that's
because
one argument.
There were
that's
people
not
that
exactly
have
how that's okay. Not exactly how I feel. I'm just arguing for the against.
Okay. Well, there is really no way to either prove or disprove.
Well, that
it's almost like a leap of faith.
You don't really think
there.
Like that. Yeah, that's like, what the Nazis said.
But look, you if
your
you can't
propaganda.
Prove these people, like I said, I can go in a place and make up a story and prove me wrong.
Psychics.
Prove that 300 years ago some guy didn't die in his room.
Yeah, well, you're a drug using crackpot. You can say anything.
See, now, obviously, like Jay said, the Scared Crew, one of our methods, because we do work with psychics and we value their input, I use them like I use a Kleenex. No, I use them like I would any other tool.
Brian said tool.
I said tool.
You just called Paul a tool.
I called Paul a tool.
Paul the tool!
And, you know, on this show, my parents are listening, so if my parents can't hear what we're saying, I'm obviously not doing something right, so.
Hello, Enrique.
It's one of those things that we've got EMF detectors, we've got our audio recorders, we've got our psychics. It's another method of finding something that's intangible to us. I mean, I might have an EMF detector, but I can't see electromagnetic fields. I could see that.
Psychics can?
I don't know. I'm not psychic.
I don't know.
Well, you know what, though? If you say you can doubt a psychic, you can doubt an EMF. What does
That's
it
valid.
See?
That's valid.
I do. I doubt EMF detectors just as much as I doubt
And, of
psychics.
Course, you know, I've mentioned this many a time, but, you know, this is a field that is no way to prove or disprove what's going on in it. With what we have right now, it's impossible because the facts of all facts, are they really facts, you know?
I mean, ultimately, so far, there's no proof.
Of
there's,
anything.
There's theories,
yeah.
There's conjecture,
there's a lot of opinions.
There's
fanatical opinions.
There's agreed opinions, like
like EMFs.
Like
a general accepted facts.
Like EMFs equal ghost. It's like, no.
Brian, let me just play idiot for this for anyone who doesn't know. What was an EMF detector originally created for, and who normally uses it besides people in, like, the ghost hunting field?
Would you like to field this question, Mr. Mancuso?
No, go ahead. I know the answer, but go ahead.
Oh, so you're just testing me then?
I'm testing you.
Okay. EMF detectors measure and try to detect, obviously, electromagnetic fields.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in high dosage, in high concentration, almost like radon, it's not healthy for you. I mean, it's not radiation per se, but it's one of those things that your refrigerator gives off EMF, your electronics, everything gives off EMF, and in low doses, this is fine. But if you're living in an area that has high concentrations of it, it can cause you to hallucinate. It can cause you to get dizzy, give you, mild dementia. It's not healthy.
Mm.
So they made
so
this.
So if the thing goes off and you hallucinate and see a ghost, doesn't that stand to reason that, like, hey, if this thing is going on, if EMF, if that magnetic field makes you hallucinate, and now you're sitting there hallucinating, and this thing's registering it, maybe
proof it backed it,
that's
it backed
what I'm saying,
up what
it backed
see.
Itself up. Do you see, I mean,
well, I think that's an interesting point for the opposite. It's saying you're not seeing ghosts, but you are hallucinating.
Exactly.
Right, but to the
point,
people
right?
that are hallucinating, they may be like, that's a ghost, so not only did I see it, but it picked it up. It's like, no,
it's
your
proof.
Mind was getting burned out by radiation.
but it's also...
But who is it? Who uses it? Like, who naturally uses it was the second part of the question. Like, who... What's,
Well, they use it to power lines and stuff
Con
like
Edison
that.
Con Edison stuff like that.
Con Edison stuff like that.
Someone from the chat room actually just asked, Taps Brit from the chat room said, do you guys add the psychic report that is given to the clients? The answer to that is yes. We give the clients everything that we pick up, and quite commonly, the client is there with us on their walkthrough. So, say Lisa Ann is walking through a location, for instance, let's take the Garibaldi Meucci Museum. As she walked through the rooms and she was getting the impressions, the museum curator followed us, watched us, and sometimes immediately, sometimes later on, she would verify, say, yes, well, in that room, this did happen. Yes, she's correct about that. So I don't know if it's so much that maybe our psychic is reading the curator.
Well, not only that, but there's times when obviously the curator or the owner isn't there for filming, but we show them everything that Lisa Ann or Paul or whatever other psychic we're working with before we go, you know, make an episode out of it. We show them to kind of confirm or deny things that these psychics say.
I mean, just like I said, I mean, psychics for us are just as valuable as our gadgets. So obviously, if we give them the reading, you know, a printed readout of, yes, we got EMF spikes of 3 and 4, and the moon was in this phase during our investigation, we're obviously going to put in the report, our psychic felt this, saw this, picked up on this name. It's obviously all relevant to why we're there.
And a lot of times the owners or curators or whoever's in charge over there confirm stuff that our psychics have said.
And I think that's important because obviously, if the psychics we brought with us, you know, batted zero, and every time they're like, wrong, wrong, wrong.
Seven.
We would have booted them out a long time ago. You know, it's not like we'd wait 5 years to get rid of some, you know, phony crackpot that's with us just, you know, spouting out information.
No, November 22nd.
We would get rid of that kind of a, you know, element right away. And right. I think nowadays we kind of a little more street smart in that aspect.
Well, that's why we don't tell them when we're going, because we use the term psychic historian.
Oh, yes. Exactly. And can you define for me what a psychic historian is?
A psychic historian is someone who is supposed to be psychic, but you make the mistake of telling them where they're going to be beforehand, so they research it on the internet.
Nobody would do that.
And then they pretend that they know nothing about the place, and they get there, and they're like, in 1866 at 3:04 p.m., a boy lost his ball.
Okay, Taps Brit in the chat room followed up. So even if the psychic says A, B, C, and you cannot document one thing they said, do you still give that report? I think our answer to that is this is kind of a gray area. We report what we found. If I go to the Grand Canyon and I say, wow, you know, it was raining there and there was two horses there. When Chris goes, you know, the sun is shining and there's not a single horse or donkey or burro in the place. Was I wrong? Was I incorrect? Was I fallible in my report of what I saw? The answer would be no. So, but I still told him, and
right.
It would be his experience that, you know, has to matter for himself. But as far as the client goes and our psychic reports, it's one of those things that, especially with Lisa Ann, the way she operates, she doesn't try to get quote unquote the right answer. She just tells it like she sees it. It doesn't always have to make sense, and especially when she does private readings, she'll report what she sees. The client will shake their head and go, no, that doesn't make sense. And she's like, look, this is what I'm getting. And maybe a week later, maybe a month later, they'll call Lisa and say, you know what? You said this. It didn't make sense to me at the time. And I'm like, you know, it just dawned on me. Yes, that makes sense. Or I have an uncle named that. And wow, it just took some time to sink in and reflect. And with our reports, it's the same thing. You know, we're not looking to say, yes, it's haunted, and it's definitely in the spirit of a Civil War general who lived here, and he murdered this person. You know, we don't deal in facts. We deal pretty much what we experience. And I think any investigator or group or organization that is looking for such extremes and such definites, I think is missing the picture.
And, you know, as far as our show goes, the way we present it, is, you know, we're not preachy. We'll present our findings or lack thereof and let the viewers kind of make their own decision, because that's what it's all about, really, is what you take away from a place personally.
Well, we're not trying to influence, we're trying to educate.
Yeah.
And
entertain a little bit, too.
And I think it is in the word report. It's like, all right, exactly. I'm not looking to influence you, I'm not looking to tell you what to believe, we're just looking to report. This is what we found. This is what our psychic said. You can believe it or not. This is what the EMF detector picked up. You can believe it or not. I mean, but here it is. We're here to service you in that.
A lot of shows seem to just, like, they go into a place, they're there for 8 minutes. Here's the ghost. This is exactly what it is. This is, you know what I mean? And they try to give it to you, and it just makes it, a lot of the shows you watch, frankly, they're a little embarrassing.
Well, to counter that, because you're saying in 8 minutes, but you know what? If you got a 30-minute or a 50-minute show, it looks like it happens fast, but they could have been there for 8 hours.
Right, but they say they're there for 8 minutes, which the thing is, they're trying to insinuate that, you know, even though we know how a film is really made, 3 hours of film in reality,
30 seconds.
but the thing is that it's really embarrassing now, because it's like, I don't understand something. Are we that bad at doing this? Because it seems that every show that's on television, these people have been doing it for a week, and wherever they go, within 8 minutes, they got a voice on tape that's saying, "I'm a ghost," or something, but we can't get anything, but these people seem to get stuff 5 times an episode.
You also got to remember, we edit our own stuff, so we present it more as a documentary, and like you said earlier, it's all about advertising. And again, not to say anything bad about any of these shows, I think they're all great.
Yeah, I know.
The networks that air them have advertising dollars that they have to account for, and bottom line, the public has to be entertained, and there have to be ratings. With us, I don't think it's that we're poor investigators. It's just that we're very critical of our evidence, and especially with this last episode that's coming out, the Phoenixville Library, this scene in which, you know, you find the evidence that you find. I think we've gone over it at least no joke 50 times, and every time we look at it, we notice something else, and we throw out something. So we still found evidence in the scene, but it's, I think, changed at least 10 times.
And just another point with other shows, let's say they're on network TV. Now, they might investigate more places that, you know, there's no activity, but that's not going to make it on the air, obviously, because they want the places that are haunted, you know, that they find proof, that they find evidence. Those are the places that are going to become episodes and make it on the air. Whereas we'll investigate a place, and if we find nothing, that's
you'll hear
the
about
way
it.
We present our episode.
That's our report. And
exactly.
I mean, we've gotten comments on YouTube saying, "Oh, this was dumb. This is a waste of time. Why didn't you present the evidence? Why didn't you show the ghost?" Well, my answer is, we didn't find one. So
what evidence? What ghost?
It's about the search.
We didn't make. You know, we're not going to make up evidence, because that's not what it's about.
That's what I always looked at scared as. Like, it wasn't finding ghosts. It was us scaring the hell out of ourselves. Even by finding nothing, it's like just going to the place.
Maybe you're scared. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. All right, well, you know what? I quit then.
I mean, it's one of those things that there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, again, it is entertainment. So, you know, I mean, think of the editing. Look at the shots they choose when they cut away in between shot A and shot B. Why do they show a picture of a grave? Why do they show a picture of a skull? Why is the music so spooky? It's entertainment, and you know what? We watch it to be entertained. So you can't take this as a scientific law, a mandate that yes, this crew or that crew is they're doing it the real way. You know, they probably are, but the people who edit their shows, who produce their shows, are showing just a fraction of their investigation, a fraction of their day. So actually, I kind of have to defend them in that aspect. It's like, look, you know, just because it's reality TV doesn't mean it's reality and that you're seeing the full picture.
Like even you know, take Phoenixville, which is going to be coming out soon. We have 2 full days of investigating that's crammed into 42 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're only going to see the best stuff, you know?
So I guess we have time for one more quick question. Since we're talking about groups, is there a sweet spot? Is there, you know, some groups have lots of members, others are struggling, have only a couple. When it comes to investigating a location, is there a number that's too big, or, you know, is a group too big to investigate, or, you know, is a small number better? Jay, I see you got something on your mind. You want to pick a side?
No, I was just saying, you're saying like big groups and small groups. I just thought you were talking about like Grateful Dead and Green Day.
So who wants to take big groups are better? Who wants to take small groups are better?
I'll take small groups are better.
All right, you got 60 seconds, Chris. Why small groups are better?
Small groups are better, obviously, because when you're trying to get EVPs, there will be less contamination. Because no matter how much people are trying to be quiet, it's just impossible. Small groups are also better because if you're in more of a confined place, you're not tripping over each other. You're not interfering with each other's readings, or, you know, you have a psychic in one room with a, you know, somebody else trying to do something. So it kind of just messes it up. I think no more than 4 or 5 people at any given on any given investigation. After that, it just becomes way too contaminated to get any, you know, proof that's reliable.
Counterpoint, Greg.
Well, big groups can tackle a lot more in a shorter time. And with us, we have to film, investigate. We have science and psychics. We have a lot to do. If you send 4 guys or 5 guys and you send them into Eastern State, they're not getting it done, and they won't get it done right. So, you know, you miss a lot. You know, it's like you need the right size group. And if that's big, it's big. If it's small, it's small. But, you know, we have been to Shanley. 6 people would probably top that out. We've been to Eastern State. 6 people will have a hell of a lot to do. So it depends on where you are. And I think that's really the deciding factor. You know, so what you hope to accomplish, because, like, we film. We need a bigger group. If we didn't film, we'd need a hell of a lot less people. So, you know, there's a lot of other factors other than just X amount of people. Also, but I think both have their merit, and it depends on where you are.
Look at Danvers. Like, we had 9 of us, 1 driver, and then 2 other people that we met there. I mean, we had a gigantic crew, and nobody was bumping into each other. There was points where Brian and I, for 3 hours, didn't see people when we were walking around. So
yeah,
sometimes
you can have 20 people
necessary.
In that place.
I prefer the small one, but
I think the important thing to note about that is that was an urban exploration. So, you know, when you do have a large location like Danvers, like say Waverly or Rolling Hills, yeah, it can accommodate the big group. So I think on any investigation, you have to decide, hey, this is a small location. We've got 10 people. That's too much. All right. You know, Billy and Bobby, you're staying home. Oh, we don't get to investigate. No, you know, you're helping the team by staying home.
Yeah. We went to the Burlington Jail. Small. I apologize. Chris, please go on.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, it's a Burlington small place. I would say 4 people could have tackled that, because we really had a lot not to do that night. We just hung out and chatted up and screwed up everyone else's investigation by talking. But, you know, like I said, Eastern State, we had a lot to do that night. As you were saying, Chris?
No, I was going to say, like, imagine 12 people in a place the size of the Parsonage.
Would not work.
Totally wouldn't work. You know what I mean? And we even had, like, well, you know, we did investigations and other people would wait outside. But they're outside and they're talking and you can hear them from inside.
And it was freezing outside. And there was too many people at the Parsonage.
And you speak over the radio and someone wigs out at you. Who knows?
I think with any investigation, like I said before, we're all kind of just kind of learning as we're going. We're finding out what works best for each of us. There's, I don't think, one specific textbook right way to do it. I think there's a guideline that, you know, there's certain things you should avoid and there's certain things you should do to get on the road. But I feel like every group that we've met, they don't necessarily need to do things the way we do things to get it correctly. You know, we get a lot of friends of ours that are TAPS family. They've got their own set of standards to adhere to. We've met other people who are independent. And I think everyone in their own way works out well. I think as long as they're doing it for the right reason, as long as they're doing it to be honest and for the field and not just, you know, kind of screw around. Because these are people's lives, people's...
And their afterlives.
People's homes that they're being invited into. So, you know, you have to be respectful of this. I'm playing the role of Jay right now as Chris. So,
sorry.
Yeah, it's a serious thing. So I think no matter what method you take, you have to take it seriously. And it looks like, once again, we're out of time.
My goodness.
Wow, that flew by.
It flew by.
We got to have another episode like this. This was actually cool.
You guys are going to have to come and join us next week. But in the interim, go to www.scaredonline.com to check out our episodes, to check out what's new, what's coming. If you've enjoyed the show and you've missed some episodes, you can go to scared.podomatic.com and check out older episodes. You can also find us on iTunes by just searching for Scared on the Airwaves. And
watch the new Phoenixville trailer, suckers!
Watch the Phoenixville trailer, because it's awesome.
It is.
And more on that and everything else Scared next week. See you guys next Tuesday.
Holy nightmare.
Good night.
Motherfuckers.
You're listening to the best in talk radio on Dark Plains Radio on darkplainsradio.com. The best of all worlds, including paranormal, politics, sports, or anything of interest around the world. Listen into Between Two Worlds Radio with Derek White, Sky Cloud, a talk show interviewing a variety of paranormal friends and strange events. Psychic medium and paranormal investigator Derek White, Sky Cloud, will be doing his mediumship messages on darkplainsradio.com. Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. It's a howling great time. That's Dark Plains Radio on darkplainsradio.com. The best of all worlds in talk radio.